Paul, let me ask you something. Do you like your family?
It's a really complicated question, Steve. I didn't realize this is where we're going to be going right now.
No, I mean, do you like seeing pictures of your family?
Yeah, sure. Pictures of my family are nice. Yes, sir.
Okay, I've got a great recommendation for you. It is the Aura frame. You've probably seen some of these before. You go to your friend's house and they have a frame on the cabinet or in the living room or whatever, and it has digital photos.
Sure. Yes.
Well, I got this thing and I set it up, super easy to set up. I basically dumped a bunch of photos from my phone right onto it. Very easy to do. Took me just minutes.
All this sounds scary to me.
No, it's incredibly easy.
It's not hard. Okay.
And basically you can put like, seems like an almost infinite amount of photos on this thing. And then you can set the parameters and it can rotate your family through like every 30 seconds.
Amazing.
And it's great because I've got pictures of my son, my family.
Cool.
My dad passed away a few years ago. I get to see him popping up every now and then. The good ghosts of your personal history coming through on this thing.
Nice. That's nice.
They have a great deal for Mother's Day, so listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ChinwagPod at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Welcome to the Chin Wag.
Welcome, my man.
Welcome, my man. Here I am. I'm Paul Giamatti, and I'm here with the great, the one and only, Stephen Asma.
Very kind of you, sir. Too kind.
Never. Can't be kind enough to you, sir. You're the tops. You're a multi-hyphenate. As they call it. You're a philosopher.
I wish my students appreciated me in this way. Could you talk to them?
Maybe I should drop by.
Yeah.
And teach those kids a real lesson in respect.
It's play a character that, yeah, play like your best mafioso kind of.
My best mafioso. Once again, with the Italian, American, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Always every episode. I'm stepping in it.
Well,
I love the Italians and you know it.
I do know it. Who doesn't love the Italians, Steve? This is a pleasure. We're here. This is a kind of special little chin wag.
It's a nugget. It's a chin wag nugget.
Yeah. Because we enjoy a chin wag nugget. It's a good one. Chin wag nugget's good. I like that. A little fried crispy nugget from chin wag. We love hearing from you guys is the thing.
Yeah.
We love the letters and comments. And keep them coming, by the way. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, at chinwagpod. We may talk
YouTube about...
And we get these messages and letters, and they're fantastic. And our nugget today is actually addressing a question that we raised, I believe,
That's right.
We talked with Sarah Vowell,
yeah,
about the origin of 10-gallon hat.
Yeah, we were theorizing, and then we just gave up and said, we don't know what we're talking about.
Yes.
And said, please tell us.
Somebody tell us. And we got a lot of responses to
We did.
It. Because I had that thing of where I always thought it was just like, it was because it held 10 gallons of water. It was an exaggeration for like water, for it holding
water.
And
we learned how ridiculous that is.
I guess it is. We did learn how ridiculous that is.
But I was on board with you.
Yeah, no. Well, I just figured that's what it was. But of course, as often is the case with these things, it's much more interesting than that.
It is,
It's far more interesting than that.
We had a guy... Patrick write in, and
yes,
we're just sort of all the people writing in, you know, we're just sort of picking Patrick here, who did a nice job of summarizing the ideas.
Well, I think Patrick summarized it well, and Patrick's, yes, he summarized it well, and it sounded pretty believable to me. It sounded like a pretty good answer to me. So we thought we would just share it with you to finally solve this mystery, or at least offer up what sounded like a somewhat convincing solution, at least one, from this fella, Patrick. Patrick, who wrote to us.
And he addressed us as enlightening hosts extraordinaire, which makes me think he was writing to the wrong podcast.
That's true. Whoops, wrong. Yeah, well, too bad. We're going to read it. We got it. So we'll
we
read
got it.
It. Indeed.
Okay, so Patrick writes, quote, "I am sending this message to you, likely adding to a vast multitude of requested responses, answering your question from the woo-woo episode regarding the meaning of a 10-gallon hat. I first came across a website called The Hatterist," which is a great, I think we should all check out The Hatterist.
We definitely should.
"Which appeared to be of some authority on the subject of hat. And they wove a large yarn of claim that the amount of water held in said hat would be the obvious answer. However, they did not explain the issue of why anyone would ever need 10 gallons of water stored in a hat. Therefore, I sought explanation elsewhere."
Indeed.
I really like Patrick's approach here.
Yeah, no, it's kind of smart.
Yeah. Then he says, "Then I came across an explanation that I will submit is one I believe is the most logical, the most reasonable, and really the least time-consuming yet rational answer that allowed me to copy and paste for you, both to examine and to come to your own conclusion if it appears to hit the nail through the 10-gallon hat onto the head sort answer. Enjoy. Thanks for your hard work and generous allowance of your time with this wonderful podcast. I sincerely enjoy your episodes."
That's very, very nice of him. I take exception with the use of the phrase hard work from the two of us.
Yeah, he's confused.
But other than
that
point. every point he makes is an interesting and accurate one. So it goes on. This goes on to quote this piece about the 10-gallon hat, and I will read that now. It's from the Amateur Word Nerd, 10-gallon hat name history doesn't hold much water, by Barbara McAllister. Well, the word of the day was 10-gallon hat. Barbara goes on to say, "Despite a common misconception, a 10-gallon hat does not refer to the liquid volume the hat can hold. 10 gallons equals 40 quarts of water, which would weigh more than 80 pounds. I'm just imagining actually the hat that would do
hilarious.
That. Just a gigantic, one of those big foam cowboy hats you see guys wearing at like football games. That would be one of those. That's as much as a large dog or four car tires. That's a pretty big hat for a 2-pint head. Even the largest cowboy hat can only hold a few quarts at most. Though Stetson had a famous ad showing a cowboy giving his thirsty horse a drink from the crown of his hat, which is probably where a lot of this comes from.
Yes, I think so.
Because I'm sure we've all seen that in some, even some subliminal level that's gone in there. Even though Stetson had a famous ad showing a cowboy giving his thirsty horse a drink from the crown of his hat, it's not certain anyone would want to ruin a $500 hat by filling it with water.
Oh my God, is that how much a cowboy hat costs these days?
I would bet they're more than that. I would think that that's probably the low end. I would think that's super expensive. But I mean, you think about kind of the shitty hats guys have in old westerns. I'm like, well, it kind of makes sense that, I mean, these guys must have done that with their hats. Or maybe,
I'm sure they did.
Or do you think that's just a cliche from cowboy movies?
We need to do an experiment where we're filling hats with water because that would solve it.
Oh boy, what are those guys, Mythbusters? We're going to become those guys?
Chinwag
Mythbusters? Boy, just soaking hats in water. All right, it continues. "The gallon and 10-gallon most likely came from an anglicized version of a Spanish word cowboys picked up from their Mexican counterparts, who wore braided hat bands on their sombreros called galones. A 10-gallon sombrero was a hat with a crown large enough to have a hat band with 10 braids."
That's interesting.
Indeed. "It may have come from another Spanish phrase, tan galon, meaning so gallant." Another reference to the appearance of an impressive hat. Either way, a 10-gallon hat is not a measurement of volume.
Wow. Okay.
Amazing. Now it goes on. This is good stuff. I like this. The iconic cowboy hat wasn't worn by most cowboys until the late 1800s when John Stetson made a broad-brimmed hat copying the protection provided by sombreros. Many early cowboys were immigrants or Civil War veterans who wore their customary hat when they went west. This included everything from top hats, Civil War headgear, and flat caps to sailor hats.
That's
I don't know if I've seen a whole lot of Wyatt Earp with his sailor hat on. The bowler or derby hat was the most popular headgear in the old American West. Bowlers had the advantage of staying on the head in windy conditions, were mass-produced in felt, and were relatively cheap. Old photos of Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid, Bat Masterson. I always think of him with a bowler on, right? There's classic pictures of him with a bowler on. Billy the Kid, too. It's true. He's got kind of like a weird top hat on, almost like a derby. All show them wearing bowler hats. It was John B. Stetson, a hat maker born in New Jersey, who changed the look of the West from Jersey. Today, Stetson hats are made in Garland, Texas, but the Stetson factory in Philadelphia once covered 9 acres. It closed in 1971, but Philadelphia still has Stetson Street, Stetson Middle School, and Stetson Mansion to mark the one-time Eastern Empire built by iconic Western wear. That's pretty good stuff.
That's fascinating.
That's really
I did not
good
know
stuff.
Any of that.
And none that of it. Is, I didn't know that about Stetson. None of it.
All these Western movies have been deluding us by showing guys in cowboy hats when they really would have been wearing like bowlers and
a top
hats
hat. When it would have been guys running around in top hats. Doc Holliday with a top hat on.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever worn a cowboy hat? I mean, not. I wonder, one, in movies, have you ever worn one? And then just walking around the streets of New York, have you ever worn
a cowboy hat? No, I have not sported a cowboy hat around the streets of New York. Maybe I will. Maybe
I'm
I will.
You,
yep.
It's a look.
It certainly is a look. I have not been in a Western. Have I? No, I've not been in a Western. I don't.
Would you like to be in a Western?
I'd love to be in a Western.
Yeah.
They don't really make Westerns much anymore. Although I guess recently there's a kind of a resurgence of Westerns, all those TV shows and stuff like that. There's a lot of Westerns on. But it's interesting. I just don't feel like, or maybe they go through phases of making Westerns. Maybe when it feels sort of, there must be some kind of politics to Westerns, like when they come and go, when it feels like you want to talk about America's like cool gunfighter past and when you
That's
don't.
That's interesting. Yeah. Is it connected to like who's in office?
Probably.
What's the political position?
Probably.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I bet that's probably true. But no, I've never done one.
I'm in Southern California at the moment, mm-hmm. and I'm near the Mexican border, and the sun is very intense here. And so mm-hmm. I am looking for like a really wide-brimmed hat all the time. And I'm mm-hmm. wearing like snake boots. Too, like huge, like cowboy boots, because there's rattlesnakes around here.
Uh-huh. Well, then this is why you need that. Now, did you just happen to have those boots, or did you purchase them?
Luckily, my brother had an extra pair, and I'm visiting him, and he lives out here, so
to walk around. Yeah, because there's scorpions and rattlesnakes and all these things that are going to sting you. Which, of course, that's right. That's true. I'd never even thought you need them nice heavy boots to protect you from that kind of thing.
The sombrero is the model, I guess, of the cowboy hat because it covers
apparently,
the whole. You know,
evidently it is. Yeah. Which is cool. No, never done a Western though, Steve. No. Do you think
I would love to see you in a, yeah, I think
it's funny because you look at the pictures of these guys like Bat Masterson and stuff like that. And it's funny because they tend to look more like guys like me than they actually look like the guys who play them usually in movies.
Like John Wayne.
Yeah. They don't look like Sam Elliott and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I mean, some of them do. Well, you know what I mean? But some of them, but a lot of them don't look like what you think they're going to look like.
What are your horse riding skills like? How do you do on a horse?
I do fine on a horse. You're looking at me with a slight smile on your face like you don't believe me.
No, I totally believe you.
I do okay on a horse. I've been on. I used to ride horses when I was a kid. Actually, my grandfather was really into horses. I had a grandfather who, for a little while, owned a horse. It was a completely bonkers and crazy thing. For some reason, he bought a horse.
And
he
had New England,
New Jersey, New Jersey, the home of Stetson hats, apparently. Yeah. And so I used to ride, and then I've had to ride him in movies. You know, and they get guys who come in and teach how to ride. I'm fine.
Yeah. Do they train you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, as much as they can. And they have incredibly well-trained horses. You know, these horses are fantastically smart and well-trained. So, and horses are smart. And, you know, so they know the horse will repeat the same. You got to ride up and stop and talk to somebody and then ride away again. The horse, like, gets it in its head very fast.
Oh, really? Oh,
what good. It's supposed to do and stuff. So it's like, they're pretty easy. So you can get away with it looking like you know how to ride a horse better than you actually do in movies. But I've done
it. You do have like a lot of, it is funny because we'll talk and you have a lot of interaction with animals as an actor. You've had all these hilarious,
I particularly have had a lot of weird interaction with animals. It's true. I mean, most actors end up having to interact with animals, but I've had a lot of particularly weird ones. Insects, rats.
Really?
A lot of primates. Yeah. A lot of primates and monkeys.
What was the rat thing?
I had to do a thing in a movie where I had to open an old trashed refrigerator in a junkyard and a rat jumps out at me. And of course, took forever because the rat would not jump out. It would just kind of poke its head out and stuff. And it was an endless thing with the rat, and the rat wrangler was there, and the rat wrangler was really worried about it. Yeah. I've had all kinds of, I could tell you some really.
They're like, oh, Jimmy, the rat's tired. He needs a break.
Yes. because, you don't want to harm the animals and you want to take care of the animals. There's a lot of care taken towards the animals and stuff. I've done a lot of stuff with dogs. I've done a lot of things with dogs, a lot of strange things with dogs that I can't even talk about.
I don't seem appropriate.
I can't even really talk about them. I mean, maybe I will someday. I'll keep that in the back burner. I have a good dog story, but I think it's a little too weird, even for this show right now. Nothing harmful to anybody. Nothing unsavory. Just weird.
Just a weird
event with a dog. But yeah, it's wonderful working with animals. Wonderful things that happens in the
end. Yeah, we don't get that a lot in philosophy. It's not cropping up in my lectures.
Really?
Animals aren't coming in.
I think it'd be kind of interesting if they just loosed like a rampaging orangutan into one of your lectures. Why not? You know what I mean? Why not?
Yeah.
Or if you just dropped a snake or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, there's a whole sort of school of, who's that guy? There's that famous philosopher who talks all about animal. He kind of started all PETA and stuff. He didn't start it, but he kind of.
Oh.
What's his name? Peter Singer.
Peter Singer. That's right.
Isn't he the guy who sort of.
He began the animal liberation movement. And you're right. He's also sort of famous for some other frightening theories, but that really took off. And I think ever since then, the whole animal rights movement, he's basically the father of that.
He's kind of the father of it. Yeah. Yeah. He must have occasionally brought
animals to the classroom.
Brought a capuchin monkey in to sort of run around and charm the students and the ferrets, various ferrets and hedgehogs. He must have been doing stuff like that. And his class, a baby giraffe, maybe. Fantastic. Well, we got off topic about the hats.
No.
We got to giraffes. I bet you didn't see what we would get from cowboy hats to giraffes. Well, but that is super interesting. And thank you, Patrick Baker. I believe the name is, and Barbara McAllister too, for what sounds to me like actually a pretty convincing explanation.
I'm buying it, and I consider our fans to be smarter than us, so I'm going to go with our fans on that.
I know our fans are smarter than us, so that's a good thing. Well, anyway, this was a pleasure to just pop in and have this nice little get together, Steve.
Keep the letters and the, well, maybe not so much the corrections, but when we a call out, keep answering them,
please. I welcome corrections. I welcome corrections. I welcome direction. I'm an actor. I'll take direction. So I'm all for it. I welcome anything and everything you guys want to send in is a pleasure. Yes. As always, Steve, it's a pleasure seeing you.
Yes, and, likewise.
And wag on, weirdos.
Wag on.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is... Whoa! Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Chinwag is a production of Treefort Media and Touchy Feely Films, hosted and executive produced by Paul Giamatti and Stephen Asma. Executive producers for Treefort are Kelly Garner and Lisa Ammerman. Dan Carey is executive producer for Touchy Feely. Our series producer is Rachel Whitley Bernstein. Original theme music by Luke Topp, with additional music by Via Mardot. Oscar Guido is our executive in charge of production. Tom Monahan is head of audio for Treefort. Audio production supervision by Matt Dyson. Editing and mixing by Jeff Neal. Animation created by Alex Sokol. Research assistance by Aiden Brooks. Lastly, for more information, go to chinwagpod.fm and find us on Instagram or TikTok at chinwagpod or on Twitter at chinwag_pod.